You know, last week I spoke about the anointing, and I want to do that again, but I want to talk about the anointing is to be used for blessings. You know, Friday night we had a great prayer time here, and I really encourage you, I mean, 4 or 5 Fridays a month, if you can set that one Friday that we just come together and we pray, and I know that things come up, weddings and all that, so please, no condemnation, but there really is something powerful when we come together and we come in agreement. And Friday night was probably the best night that we had had praying over our cities. It really is time that we bust out. God's already busted out of the box into the cities. It's time the church catches up with him and that we bust out of our box and get about the Father's business into our cities and everything. And then yesterday, again, the third Saturday usually, but yesterday was the fourth Saturday, we do an outreach, and I know we're not a neighborhood church. We got people coming from Allen, Plano, Line, people up there at the Oklahoma border of Highland Village and all that. Just kidding. Seems like it gets that far sometimes, I'm playing. And so I know that. I know we're not. So I know you can't come to everything. And we don't put any pressure on you that. Even the Carrollton people, we put no pressure on you to come. But I encourage you that Saturday that we're doing an outreach, you be intentional about your city. You be intentional prayer walking your neighborhood. Yesterday, this past week, I felt like the Lord told me, he says, I want you to prayer walk the entire city of Carrollton. And this, so we've started mapping it out. And I remember when the Lord just dropped that into my spirit on Wednesday or Thursday, Eldred Sawyer, Care Center Ministry, they've done it for years. And I called Elder and I said, Elder, tell me about this. I said, I remember when I've driven with you in Pleasant Grove that you've gone into businesses and you've blessed them. Do you go into businesses and ask them if they need prayer? And he goes, we're spirit-led, Mike. Some we do, some we don't. He said, Mike, I want to tell you, he said, you and your body will see a difference the very first day after you start prayer walking your city. So today's the very first day after that. We got a nice rain. The skies and the natural look clean. The green trees look more alive. And I believe that's just a kiss from the Lord that says, you know, because sometimes I need kisses from the Lord to go, you're going the right way. Anybody ever need that? That you kind of go, man, God, you know, and God gives you a kiss. And storms come down through Oklahoma and just drop an enormous amount of rain upon us. Man, it sounded great last night. Falling. Yeah, well, yeah. Hell at the people in Garland that God was trying to really get their attention. Us in Carrollton, we're doing a lot better. Kidding, brother, kidding. Playing. So, so I really felt like it was a kiss from the Lord. And Chris and I, we prayer walked 3.5 miles yesterday. And it's really amazing what we've allowed to come into our cities. We walked around here because Sean Porter, the owner of this place, showed up on Thursday, and he said, man, I got tenants leaving, my best tenants leaving in April, and man, we're not finding people to rent this. And I said, well, you could lower my rent then if you're struggling to get. No, I didn't say that. But I felt, you know, I just heard his heart cry. And I said, bro, we're going to start praying for you that you have good tenants and that you won't miss a beat when that person moves out at the end of April. Because we have the power to bless. The Spirit of the Lord, and I shared out of it last week, I encourage you to digest Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And that word anointing, I want you to start getting a definition. It's your mission statement of why you exist. Spirit of God's on you. He's anointed you for a purpose. He anointed Joseph to be number 2 in line. He anoints conversations to happen just like that. A guy from Houston moves here, calls a number that he had years ago, and well, I don't know Rick, but I'm a Randy, and you know, and all of that, how it connects. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, when we were talking about it the other day, already had 4 gigs and interviews, had one company going. Water restoration, we don't like our company, draw up a contract and we'll sign with you. And we usually need you 2 to 3 times a month. Am I correct still? Just like that. So money starts coming in. It's not just a conversation. There's breakthrough that starts coming through. And that's what the anointing does. And I think that we've got to get a revelation that God just didn't come to put his spirit upon you, but he gave you the DNA. I want you to see the anointing is the DNA of heaven. It's the DNA of God. So the anointing is mission statement. It's the DNA. Some churches, I think of Hillsong's in Australia. What's their DNA? In my opinion, man, let me tell you what, they know how to worship. Everything that comes out of there is about worship. Darlene. I mean, unbelievable what she's raised up there. So God puts a DNA. That's the reason when you look around the smorgasbord of churches, there's something different, should be something different about them. So I think of Hillsong's, and I mean Darlene brings it off the charts. I think of Christ for the Nations and the DNA that God put upon them of missions and raising up missions to go touch all the continents of the earth. I think of Sojourn Church and Pastor Terry and the DNA to bring forth inner healing in every area of a person's life, to know the love of the Father. I think of the Baptist denomination, and they have a DNA of outreach and fellowship. Man, I'm telling you what, the Baptists know how to put a potluck on. That's the reason most of the pastors in the Baptist denomination weigh 250 plus. Just kidding a little bit. Just playing. I know after the church service sometimes, if some of you don't come up and go, Mike, you might have stepped over the line. God always reminds me of when I step over the line. So anyway, but God likes to have a lot of fun too. But you know, so all of these different denominations, we need to quit being critical of what we don't understand about them. I want to say it again. If we really think about it, how many times in the last 3 months have you said something negative about a church, a denomination, or a pastor? God loves all the flavors of when He puts His DNA in us. And please hear me, I've been betrayed by brothers and sisters in the Lord. You may have even think, well, Pastor Mike, you've betrayed me. And I'm being honest, because God sets up betrayal in His kingdom for us to learn the most ultimate way of love. Don't shout me down. He does. He will use betrayal to teach us how to love and teach us how to forgive. In fact, if you were to put it, the greatest sign marks to maturity, I really do believe this, the greatest sign mark that you're a mature man and woman of God and a mature, all of a sudden I flip back into Hereford, a mature spiritual mom and dad is when you know how to walk through betrayal. What's the ultimate act at the end before Christ goes to the cross? Is a betrayal. And He lets the betrayal come with a kiss on the cheek. And what does He call him? You brood of viper, get behind me, you ugly devil. No, He calls Judas friend. God uses betrayal to teach us our depth of love. God will use betrayal. He doesn't have it in heaven, but He allows it. He'll use it and allow it to mature us. Amen? Okay, four of you are really excited about that, but it really, really is. God allows things to happen to really grow us and mature us and to reveal our own issues of our heart. So I really encouraged you guys that during this time of prayer and fasting, you would know, you would come to a greater understanding what your anointing is, what your mission statement is. What is the DNA of God's heart that He's put upon you? For some of you, I mean, it's easy to see love, and it's easy to see compassion. It's easy to see passion. And I think God wants us to grow up and understand why He put DNA of Him in us. Yes, we're all to love. But I'm not going to be the best one to walk you through inner healing, and I'm just being gut honest with you. Because I am more wired in the way of, okay, yeah, I hear you, okay. Have you prayed about it? Did you confess it as sin? And did you forgive that person and all those things and walk you through it? Now it's time to get over it and it's time to go. But you don't want that to degree. You're going to need Nancy Lynch, who's incredible at it. She has a gift and a grace and anointing to sit and listen to you. In other words, I don't have that anointing to sit and listen to you past three sessions. Can I just be gut honest with you? If you don't got it by three sessions, I'm sending you to Nancy, or I'm sending you to Jennifer Willard, or I'm sending you to Wendy Kay. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have to know our depth of anointing. Just like with Jesus, the rich young ruler, many of us would have been staying there and camping out for years, not Jesus. He knows where he's going. He knows where his anointing is in that time and season. Amen? I'm hoping you're really getting this, because we really have to quit apologizing when we go, that would be Richard Page that would have that anointing for a breakthrough in your business. That would be Red, or that would be Randy Black. And we don't apologize for that. And then we don't get offended when the pastor's not the one praying for you and everything. It's time for the American church and all of us to grow up. It's just like when Naaman comes to have the great prophet pray over him. Remember the story? Naaman comes to him. He goes, man, I'm a great warrior for such and such. And the prophet sends a servant out to tell him to go what to do. Naaman is so furious that he almost missed his healing. How dare him, the great prophet of Israel, not come out and be the one to speak to me? How dare him send a servant? He's going to get on his camel and ride away and not go dunk himself seven times in the filthy Jordan River. And how many of us miss our breakthrough or our healing because we don't think it's the person that we think it should be praying for us? Right? So God uses those things to offend our mind and to offend our heart. Come on, don't shout me down. All right, so the anointing. Start understanding what is on you and what the DNA of God's put in your heart. Everybody's watching the CSI shows. I've never seen one of them. Not that they're bad. But it's all about the DNA and putting on the gloves and figuring out who did what, right? That's pretty much right? It's time that the world starts seeing the DNA of God in you and I, and that they can trace it back to a great loving Father. They're finding and releasing prisoners because they find out what again? The DNA proves that they weren't at the scene of the accident or the murder or whatever thing happened. DNA, God is trying to speak something so loud and clear of TV shows that are talking about DNA. And if you're keeping up with news at all, it's like 22 prisoners in the last 12 months in Texas alone. And don't quote me on those numbers. I'm just kind of making them up right now. Sounds good, but I think where I read that, it was somewhere like 22. It's the truth. So don't anybody go home and Google it and go, man, that's sorry, Pastor Mike. Missed it by three. But I think it really is. When I was reading on the last one or two, it was like 22 in the last 12 months have been released out of prison, some that have been there for 28 years. You talk about one bitter brother or sister, man, that would be tough. Be behind prison doors telling everybody you're innocent and going, yeah, right, everybody declares that. And they're being released because now they've proven how to figure out through these DNA testings who was at the scene of the accident, who was at the scene of a particular criminal offense. I want to talk about Adam having the DNA of God before the fall. Can you imagine? Now go back with me a few thousand years. See if you can't feel the very presence. No sin. The DNA of God's heart in every area. I mean, I do. When I take time to ponder, I get chill bumps even right now. And it's not because it's cold in here. I know some of you think, well, yeah, I got chill bumps too, but it wasn't because of that. Can you imagine every sphere, every boundary, border has the righteousness of God? Think about the time when DNA of heaven is so prevalent on earth that truly at this time, the lion and the lamb lie down together. The frog and the fly play together. Now come with me as the lion and the lamb have been lying down over here for 100 years, 10 years, no sin. The righteousness of God is in every area. What is the righteousness of God? Joy, love, and peace. It's in every one of their thoughts. They didn't have to worry about having a bad thought. Joy, love, and peace is everywhere. You got a frog and a fly over here that they're best buds in the garden. And back here is Adam and Eve, and a devil comes bebopping up to try to get them to exchange the DNA of God with the DNA of unrighteousness. A lion and a lamb have laid forever over here, goofing off, playing. A frog and a fly over here, same way. Because it's peace everywhere. And as this action is going on, where the devil's tempting them to give away the DNA of God to the devil, if you will. The devil wasn't turned into a son or daughter, though. He was able to take the keys of God's kingdom for a moment's time. And as Adam and Eve fell, the leaves started changing. And here's what was released. Unrighteousness was released. Destruction, decay, discouragement, defeat. And yeah, drought. The earth had once been just taken care of by God. Is a full water sprinkling system all on the face of the earth, ordained and orchestrated by God. Can you imagine in that moment's time when that happens with Adam and Eve, all of a sudden the lion takes a bite out of the lamb? Because you see, peace is removed, joy is removed, love is removed. Anger and to kill, unrighteousness is released. The fly who had flown so many times over the frog's head, all of a sudden the frog reaches out his tongue and takes in the fly. It really is the truth. This is really what went down, church. Because Isaiah 61 is what was spoken 700 years before the sun, Christ Jesus, would come to the face of the earth to look to restore the DNA of his Father's heart. We look and we find men and women of God throughout the Scripture who would get a taste of the DNA of God. We see Noah who builds an ark for 120 years. Are you kidding me? Would I've been diligent of building 120 years? There's never been any rain on the earth. But God is telling a man, I'm going to put an anointing on you and it's going to serve a purpose. Do you know that you've been put here in this time slot for a purpose? You got Abraham who got a DNA of God to be the father of faith, to release fathering, and to release faith, and to release blessings. As you read in Genesis 12, I bless you to be a blessing. You have Moses, you have Samuel, you have David, you have Mordecai and Esther, you have Mother Teresa. I think of this great woman of God, Catholic denomination, but a great woman of God. Raised up unbelievable amounts of people and organizations and ministries that fed the poor. Can you see this little frail woman, if you will, going through the streets of Calcutta, feeding the poor? She heard the anointing of God, the DNA of mercy of God, and she took care of millions of people. She had organizations in five continents releasing the mercy of God. In fact, I was going to read a little bit of it. Let me just get it real quick. Under her direction, her followers served in 25 countries on five continents. In Calcutta alone, she established a children's home, a center for people with leprosy, a home for people who were dying and destitute, and a home for people suffering with tuberculosis and mental disorders. Unbelievable what this woman of God did. She didn't have any great education. She didn't have millions of dollars, but she had an anointing, and God will always gravitate resources to the anointing. What's your anointing? What's your mission statement? What's the purpose that God has you in this time and day? I think of the great Civil War, people who were hiding blacks to protect them. They understood their anointing and their time and purpose. Yesterday, as Chris and I went prayer walking and the other group went to Harry Hines to do the outreach, Chris and I were blessed that as we came walking up this way to walk to downtown Carrollton, we came upon a church, St. John's Missionary Baptist Church. Today, they're having their celebration of 121 years. It's unbelievable what was there. They let us in, and you see these pictures of all blacks, and you read the plaque in there that before the Civil War, blacks were allowed to come to only take care of the white master's children. Just a half a mile from here, church. You read that after the Civil War, blacks were not allowed to come into that church at all. And it caused Chris and I in our prayer walking, because I'm telling you, we're prayer walking the entire city of Carrollton. It made us start praying for reconciliation and restoration among all ethnic groups across this metroplex. We got to meet a man there. His name Jesse and his wife Gwen don't have a lot of resources, but they feed the poor every Saturday in this little grass yard of this church. In that time, there's a divine connection, kind of like what happened to Randy. This guy starts saying, man, I've got to meet this one person in this ministry because they can help me get more food to feed. And Chris goes, man, my buddy's the president or something like that. Manager there in that, president sounds better, just kidding. Manager, I'm playing. Some of you going, wow. But the manager, and just right there, Jesse goes, man, I'm going to be calling you. Because I need to be able to get in there to be able to have access to more food. He talks about how him and his wife go to downtown Dallas and feed the poor, feed the homeless, and only to have the police show up and shut them down because they passed a law where you can't feed the homeless. They can't gravitate to these areas because the business people, it upsets them. So he's got to go and he's got to get the right paperwork, but he does. What's your anointing? What's your mission statement? Why do you exist in this time for this purpose? As we prayer walk, we're finding out so many things that have come into our cities. For those who are in Carrollton, do you realize we walked into two of the hotels in this, and it's in your city too. Because we haven't been the watchman upon the wall of being light and salt out there. We've allowed the enemy to kind of flip us. In the days of Christ, he could do miracles 6 days a week, just don't do anything on the Sabbath. He's flip-flopped it, and the enemy tells us, you can do stuff on the Sabbath, but don't do anything 6 days of the week. Do you understand what I just said right there, that scripture? In the time of Christ, they said, we're going to watch you. Don't you do anything of the Father's DNA on the Sabbath. You can do it all the other 6 days. Now the enemy's flip-flopped it. Oh, yeah, go worship Jesus in your deal. But don't you dare talk about him in our government. Don't you dare pray to him on Friday night football game. Don't you even speak about his name at the baccalaureate services or the graduation services. And what have we done? We don't. And if we, like I said, God's out of the box, it's time that we get caught up with him. As Chris and I, another cool thing to prayer walk your city. Chris and I, as we would talk, and he would share testimony, and then we would pray the testimony. Because we started understanding why prayer walking is so important. As we went into these hotels, we found out that they're run by Hindus. We asked them if we could pray for them. No, we don't take prayer from your God. We go to a temple over in Irving. Huh? They were good. They weren't mean, but they didn't want us to pray for them. But see, I'm under the mind that my name's Mike. If I can touch them, there's an exchange that happens. Seriously, Are we going to quote Scripture and live in a way that who is in us is greater than who is in the world? There truly is a reality, and I told Chris this. For 20 years, I've made a point that if I can even just touch and shake the hands of a lost person, there's an exchange of the DNA of God that's within me into their life. That it says in Romans 8 that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me, and there's an exchange when I come in contact with somebody that doesn't know the love of the Father. We've got to get this lid off of us that we really understand what we're called to do in the purposes of God. I'm not called to go to Calcutta like Mother Teresa. And as we're continuing to walk this out, you will know your spiritual land better, and it's time to steward it and tend to it. Amen? When God asked Cain, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Answer is yes, we are. And as Chris and I were in that church, I told Chris, man, did you feel the compassion in the morning in there? Did you feel this? And can I tell you there's things that's happened in our cities that we ought to be able to feel it and feel the compassion of God? For example, Scripture. What did God say about Abel's blood? He says it's crying out. His cry, his mourning, his loss is coming up to the heavenlies. Shouldn't you and I be hearing the longing and the crying in our cities? Amen? The more we get the culture of the earth out of us, the more we will hear the crying of the lost of our cities. That's another good reason to make prayer and fasting a lifestyle. So Chris shared a story with me about prayer walking and somebody who understands their anointing. And I wanted him to come and share about a woman carrying pulling a little red wagon.
Microphone on my lips.
Is that good? Is that good?
Is that good? Sweet. Some of you may not know, I got saved in 85, and then I was a backslider pretty quick after that. I just went right back to, we'll just say, dog stuff they release. Anyway, for many years, I went right back to cocaine, drugs, painkillers, marijuana, whatever I could get in me to try to soothe what I was running from. And so here I was on my little cul-de-sac in my own little private marijuana grow room, smoking up as much weed as I can, taking everything into me that I can. And unbeknownst to me, there's a lady walking around my cul-de-sac day in and day out, two, three times a day. I don't know how much she did it, but I encountered her one day, and I asked her why she would stop in front of my house. And she said, well, I like your azaleas, but really we're prayer walking, and I'm praying over your house. I was like, and so all of a sudden I knew. It's like, wow, okay. I got to stay away from her, you know. But she continued for, I don't know, 3-4 years. And she would always stop in front of my house and do stuff, you know, And so anyway, years have gone by, and I was at Baruch Hashem, where I was kind of working there and doing some things. And some of you may or may not know Jeffrey Seif from CFNI. He's a professor there. It was his wife. Well, she, all of a sudden the Lord began to speak to me in the service. It was like, you need to go tell her that the prayer walking that she did in your neighborhood was part of what I heard, her heart cry from that intercession. And the Lord gave me a word today out of Ezekiel 22:30, that he looked around for someone to stand in the gap. And that's my exhortation to all of us, to myself, to catch that mandate and to walk and to intercede. And so when I just went up to her and I said, I'm so excited, the Lord just spoke to me about when I had come back to the Lord, that you were instrumental. You used to carry your son, this little red wagon, and y'all would pray for me. And she said, what? Which house? You know, and I said, and I told her, and she said, yes, I remember. And I said, I remember your son. He was little, like my little Henry, and now he's like taller than me. Anyway, she was so excited. She ran and got Dr. Seif, and she was, she was just so excited. We could tell it really encouraged her because she faithfully did this. She did it in faith. Years had gone by. Me coming back to the Lord, where I've come from and where I'm going, awesome. And she was an instrument, but it was like, it was just done in faith, you know. She just always cruising along, had her little flags, Israeli flags and everything, and there she went. And then all of a sudden I become really connected to the Messianic Jewish movement, and still am. My oldest son is a leader there, so it's really cool the way God does things. And so just encourage you to do that, you know. I mean, you never know. You may be stopping out inside of somebody's garage, and they're in there snorting cocaine and bonging pain pills and everything else. But releasing that DNA of heaven into that through the walls, through that, to my little inner sanctum. So anyway, in that, I just praise the Lord.
Amen. I mean, great testimony. He's telling me that, you know, it just, again, a kiss from God for me. It's time to prayer walk our cities. It's time to be intentional when we're walking. God told Moses and Joshua both that where the soles of your feet tread, I'll establish my kingdom. We need to understand when you walk into a grocery store today, or you walk into Kohl's, or you walk into a restaurant, when you prayer walk your neighborhood, you may call, because as he was sharing it yesterday, he says, I was in my garage smoking pot, and I'd see her come walking by with bringing her kids in a little red wagon. And that prayer called him out of the den, the caves of being separated from the Lord, whatever, into his destiny. Where now, the last 8 years, you've gone to Mardi Gras, right? Eight, something like that. You're here for a purpose. When I stand before God, I not only want him to say, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Before I exit this side of heaven, I want to be able to say what Paul said. I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. And I've run the race well. When I read that statement, it's one of the most powerful statements in the Bible, in my opinion. Because it means in every season, he was able to endure because he tied on to the goodness of God. And when you read Paul's resume, he could have had any time. He could have said, man, you know, I'm tired of being the shipwrecked and left for dead. I'm tired of being stoned. And when I look at my life, seriously, not that kind of stoned. Not that kind of stoned. Yeah, I know what kind of church we have when I say that and half of the church busts out. He was tired of being hit with rocks. I'll have to say it like that. See, other pastors could say that in a church and everybody go, wow, that's a great one. Not here. Half of you start busting out. Yeah, right. Go, Jesus. Those that have the anointing on their life, like a Heidi Baker, who over 300 people have been raised from the dead in Mozambique by that woman of God alone. Her spiritual son has raised over 500 from the dead. You don't get it by just our Sabbath day journey with Jesus. You get it when tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, when your flesh wants to be weak, just like with Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. You get up because, God, I got to have you. I'm hungry for more of you, because it's about receiving. And really every day, I believe it every day, there's a prayer for your city. There's a divine appointment if we'll remember the purpose of why we're here. I think of Elijah, who was so saturated in the presence of God. Now, this would really be wild if this started happening. Remember the last story told about Elijah? They're going to bury a dude, and here comes the army against him again, and they go, oh, my gosh, just throw him in there. We don't have time to take care of everything. So they threw him in there, and what does he do? He touches the bones of Elijah, and the dude pops up, comes to life. Elijah was so saturated in the manifest presence of God that his purpose was still being released even when he was dead. Now, this is the way I think. I know some of you going, the lion and the lamb and the frog and the fly. That's the way I think when I read the Bible. I do. I think about how the trees never knew decay and leaves started having a shaking and a decaying start coming. Can you imagine those two brothers that threw the dead man into the cave and they start running? They're running to get away from the army, and here's the dude that they threw in there that was dead that passes them? Seriously. It's time that the dead come to life spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and yes, I'm even saying physically one day. Amen. That we would pay a cost to get so close to Him that God could give us that level of anointing. Prayer and fasting gets us humble where we wouldn't take the credit for it. If you will, let's stand. Just want to pray over all of us, and then we'll close. Well, God, we have been put here for a purpose. We've been put here with the Spirit of God living within us, the same power that raised you from the dead. And you've given us an anointing, our purpose. For some, it's to release your love, mercy, compassion. And yes, we all have a measure of that. But Lord, then there's stuff of your kingdom we're given greatly of, to steward wealth, to release miracles, to restore marriages. Lord, would you in this continued 21 days, even people who couldn't be here today that are part of this body, God, would you show them their mission statement? Would you show them their purpose? And that, God, we would be about your purpose once again. You showed the early church in the upper room the anointing. You filled them up with your Spirit. But they took you, the DNA of your heart, and took you to the streets of Jerusalem, to the Judeas, to the Samarias, and to the ends of the earth, until they were declaring in Acts 17:6 that the men and women who've turned the world upside down have just come into the gates of our city. Lord, would you cause us to pray with a purpose and an intentionality to know you more, to be touched by you, but then to give you away. Because you never know how many Chris Parrots are out there who that prayer targets them in their garage. And your goodness and greatness changes a man's life. We love you and we give you praise, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Philip, they've had some sickness hit their home and a few other things, and he was supposed to do the announcements and just let me know he's not going to be here. I told him I could have probably figured that one out, but the tithes and offering buckets are up here, so please, if you haven't given, if this is your time to do it, please feel free to do that anytime. Next Sunday, we have an honor and a privilege to dedicate some babies and children. There's going to be like 5 or 6 kids done. Randa is actually going to do both of her kiddos, and I just thought that was really, really cool. Friday night, though, Candace, sitting right back over there where Matt is, said an incredible prayer Friday night. She said, Lord, Evie has your peace, and people have talked about your peace. Am I right? Is that right? Is that what it was? I thought it was peace. And God, our children have been given names and been given things from you like that. And she just started praying, Lord, may all of our kids back here always know why they exist and what they carry. And that they can know it at 18 months. They can know it from birth. They can know it so that they never have a day of feeling that they're unwanted. It's a beautiful, beautiful prayer. So you get to be part of a baby dedication and a kid's dedication to come and pray and agree that some of the war wounds that we walk through that now are redeemed things, that they might never have to walk through those because a body of believers realize that that's who we truly are. We're a family. Amen? And again, C does a great job of sending out emails on that. I encourage you to read them. I even sent you an email this past week. Hopefully you enjoyed it. So you could tell the man's version and the women's version. So here we go. Hail for Jesus. Hail for Jesus. I'm just kidding. I was kidding. So, sweetie, calm down. I said that one time when she got mad at me, and these guys have never let me live it down. I said, sweetie, calm down. So anytime she starts railing on me, and you saw who gets the anger on them, right? Just kidding. Just playing. Yeah, I'm going to be in trouble. Can I go home with you today? Just kidding. No. You're on your own. Well, right after the church service, I think Matt's going to have a stoning with Karen. So she's going to hit. He's going to hit her with a lot of rocks. She's rooting for the Cardinals, and so he told her last night there's going to be a stoning after church. So apparently, after what I said a while ago, some of you would be going back there thinking something else, but it's going to be rocks. Okay. First excommunication. We're getting very, very close. It's building, Karen. I can't protect you now. All right, if you will, let's stand one last time. Just want to bless you. God's good, you know it. All the time. Well, Father, we do love you. God, we thank you for the ways that you've come and touched us today with testimonies, with worship, with prayer, with ministering of the word. And Lord, I thank you for prayer and fasting, for it really puts us closer to you. And Lord, if you want to change any of that up with any of us, TV, food, no newspaper, no news, no Facebook, whatever, Lord, we just say, speak to us so that we can draw closer to you. Lord, we speak your blessings over our cities, Lord, of Dallas and Carrollton and Coppell and Farmers Branch, to Plano, to Highland Village, to Louisville, to Flower Mound, Lord, and all the other cities, and to Allen, Frisco, all those other cities that make up the entities of Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And I thank you, Lord, that we get to go be fishermen of men and women. It's time to lay down our nets of distractions and be about our Father's business for your glory and honor, King Jesus. And we ask these things in your name, Lord. Amen.